Well, 2022 was a major year for health law, with the Supreme Court overturning the right to abortion and significantly weakening the administrative state. Next year could be just as dramatic, as we anticipate more rulings on abortion, preventative services, and civil rights. For all that, we want to bring in Allie Reed. She's a Bloomberg Law healthcare reporter. So, Allie, summarize for us what were the big issues in 2022, presumably leading with the abortion. Kind of, how did 2022 shape up with, you know, some hindsight here?
So the decision in Dobbs v. Jackson was really monumental for a lot of reasons. It overturned decades of precedent and made healthcare, made reproductive healthcare into a debate that it hadn't been in a long time. There was also a major decision in West Virginia v. EPA, where the Supreme Court decided to curb power plant emissions, and that decision actually ended up making it significantly harder for agencies like the Department of Health and Human Services to respond to public health threats. We also saw lower courts red states and lower courts successfully target President Biden's agenda on issues like transgender care. So in the next year, courts could make final decisions that would either protect or hinder what few nationwide abortion rights still exist. They could narrow the scope of the Affordable Care Act, and they could end up striking down affirmative action, which could have broad repercussions in the healthcare industry.
So are we, is this court, is it a, give us a sense of how it's trending here, and just in terms of maybe more on the conservative side versus more on the progressive side. What have we seen so far in the last year or two?
So I would say it's really hard to predict exactly what the Supreme Court will do anymore. A lot of my sources have said they just wouldn't bet on anything at this point, because the Supreme Court has showed that they're willing to overturn decades of legal precedent, and there's really no telling where that stops. So we've seen the justices question the strength and independence of federal agencies and do things like support religious freedom in ways we really haven't seen before. But it's impossible to predict what they'll do moving forward this next year.
Is there a sense that, you know, it seems like the Supreme Court, as it always has been, I believe that's a fair statement, it, you know, is independent to rule as it sees fit. Is there any sense in Washington that maybe this court is a little bit too far to the right, and that there may need to be some controls placed upon it, or any kinds of controls there at all?
I mean, it depends who you ask. I think obviously a lot of people have been shocked by the decision the court made this last term, including, I mean, President Biden himself, although we really just don't necessarily know if any efforts to sort of reform the court or lengthen terms or put term limits would really have any legs. So it's hard to say.
And is there a sense in Washington whether the Supreme Court does in fact reflect the views of the American public in general? Is this a court that's acting, you know, it really representing the people, or perhaps not so much?
I would say not so much. I mean, if you just look at the Supreme Court justices, they probably don't look like the people you would pick out of a grocery store. And I mean, particularly in the Dobbs decision, we saw that actually the vast, well, not necessarily vast, but the majority of Americans support a nationwide abortion right. And obviously the Supreme Court struck that down. So I don't think there's a sense that necessarily this set of justices is representative of the American people.
Give us a sense just on timing here. Here we are just about to turn the calendar over to January. Just give us a sense how the court works and when we may see some decisions, and how that calendar looks for 2023.
So we've already heard some very interesting oral arguments in December and October. We might not get answers on Supreme Court cases until the end of the session in June. And a lot of the district and appellate court cases I'm watching could end up being resolved quicker, because in those circumstances, sometimes parties will request more timely resolution for their claims, and lower courts are more apt to do that than the Supreme Court is.
So if you had to put like a top two or three cases that you and other Supreme Court watchers and legal observers are really focusing on in this session, kind of what would they be?
I would say abortion is definitely number one.
Well, what's still left on abortion? Is there more rulings and more interpretations to go?
Yeah, so one of the important rulings, there is still this federal law that President Biden has clutched onto in response to the Dobbs decision that basically states that under the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, which is a federal law requiring doctors to stabilize patients in medical emergencies, that law overrides any state law that criminalizes an abortion. So it would be a way for a pregnant person in an emergency, regardless of what state they're in, to actually have that abortion procedure. But there are two lawsuits originating in Texas and Idaho that are going to likely bring that question of whether federal law overrides state criminal law to the same Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade.
Is there anything that on the Inflation Reduction Act that's still before the court?
Yes, in fact, most of it, because the Inflation Reduction Act, the rulemaking hasn't necessarily begun on the parts of that bill that affect healthcare. So the major thing I'm watching is the fact that the act allows Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices for the first time beginning in 2026. And that's a provision the pharmaceutical industry is strongly opposed to because they argue it's going to hinder drug development. So because rulemaking hasn't begun by the Department of Health and Human Services, drug makers can't yet file a lawsuit. But as soon as that rulemaking begins, it's expected that pharma will file a suit.
So, Allie, the court has seen some pretty significant turnover in the last several years. What's the expectation for the next couple, 3 years? Is it looks like this court is pretty much set, or might there yet be some more turnover?
I think it's pretty much set. One interesting thing to note is the impact that the Trump administration really had on the federal judiciary, which is in some ways just as important as the Supreme Court, because it's allowed these justices in some districts, there's just one Trump-appointed federal judge who rules on the vast majority of cases, and so it's allowed Republican-led states to file lawsuits in exactly which district where they know they'll be heard by a Trump-appointed judge and get the ruling they want. And so I think that turnover is really lasting this year, and it's something that's difficult for the Biden administration to combat.
Has the Biden administration been active in its own right in terms of appointing judges?
I believe so. We have another reporter who knows the answer to that question better than I do, but I believe the Biden administration is trying pretty hard to fill those spots.
All right, Allie, good stuff. Appreciate you taking the time there. Lots, obviously, to focus on when we relate to some of these legal challenges, legal issues, and Allie focuses on the healthcare, and of course, in 2022 with the abortion, with the Dobbs case, that was front and center.